The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning to everybody. You know, when I used to live in the Philippines, I used to say, you guys are like mushrooms. It's kind of like when you go to bed and your lawn is totally clean and you wake up and you don't know where the mushrooms came from. So it's kind of like the mass starts and the church is pretty empty, and bit by bit I start seeing these people popping up and I have no idea where they came from. I never see you walk in, but now the church is half full. It's good to see. So today we are celebrating Trinity Sunday, which is, as you can imagine, kind of like one of the central big feasts of the year, right? The Holy Trinity, which... Here's the consolation to me as a preacher. If by the end of the homily you still don't know what I'm talking about, that's okay. Because frankly, none of us will ever really get the Trinity. All we can do is just take a stab at it. There's actually a story of St. Augustine. St. Augustine is arguably, he's one of the greatest theologians of all time. Some people say he's the greatest, although I think St. Thomas Aquinas normally takes home the honors for that one. But you know, second place isn't bad in 2,000 years, right? And St. Augustine, when he was back in the 300s, the second half of the 4th century, so the late 300s, and he was walking up and down the beach just wrestling, trying to get his brain around the Trinity. And as he's walking up and down the beach, he sees this little kid digging a hole in the sand with a little seashell. He'll scoop it out, you know, just a little shell, and runs over to the ocean and grabs a little seashell full of water, sticks it in the hole, runs back, more water, sticks in the hole. And he's watching this kid, what the heck is this kid doing anyway? So finally he said, "Look, kid, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm trying to take the ocean and I want to stick it in this hole." "Well, what are you talking about? The ocean, can't you see? It's huge. I mean, the ocean goes on practically forever and you've just got this little hole. You'll never stick it in there." So the kid just looked at him. "And you're going to try to stick the Holy Trinity inside your little brain?" Who do you think that kid was? And that's when St. Augustine decided, you know what, I guess I can relax. I will wrestle with this all my life and I'll never really get it. So what is the Holy Trinity? Well, I think everybody understands these words from sacred scripture. We love to repeat it. God is love, right? Everyone hears that? The first letter of St. John says God is love, point blank. What a cool definition of God. If you have a hard time wrapping your brain around God, ask yourself, do you know what it means to love? Okay, well, you're starting to understand God. But here's the thing with love. Love, you can't just like love a vacuum. I can't just like sit at a blank white wall with nothing on it and just contemplate love. You know, it just doesn't work that way. For there to be love, there's got to be somebody, like there's got to be me, and then I've got to have somebody that I can truly love. Otherwise, what am I talking about? There was actually a Greek philosopher who came up with an image that I kind of liked. And interestingly enough, he was not a Catholic. He actually was an anti-Catholic. He was after the time of Jesus. He was, I think, in the 2nd century or something like that. His name was Plotinus, or Plotinus, depending on how you want to pronounce it. So he actually stumbled upon, as a philosopher, the idea that God has to simultaneously somehow, he couldn't figure out how, but simultaneously God would have to be one and three at the same time. And here was his reasoning process. I think he actually had some sort of a mystical vision and everything, but anyway, here's his reasoning process. He says, well, look, if God is just one, and God is totally like self-contained and self-loving and everything, he would be selfish in a certain sense, right? Because if you're like the only cool thing around and you're just like contemplating how cool you are all the time, you know, even if it's true, because if you're God, you actually do possess all perfection. It's not like one of us looking at the mirror thinking how great we are. If you're God, you actually do possess all perfection, everything that is good, everything that is lovable. You're the whole package, right? But if it just remains there and you're just contemplating how awesome you are, well, that would be kind of selfish, right? So it says that doesn't work. So what if there are two persons in God? Now, it doesn't say two gods, because that would be a contradiction automatically. Because if you are God and there's another God and God possesses everything that's good and there's somebody over here, so that gets you into whole mental problems. But he says, what if there are like two persons in God? Well, what are they doing? Then they're looking at each other, contemplating how awesome they are, which is better. But have you ever been to a party and you see like a couple that is enamored and they're just like totally into each other and they're totally not paying attention to the rest of the party, and everyone else is just like, get over yourselves, come on. Either go, you know, go to a park and hang out together, or hang out with the rest of the party. But you guys, it's like you're not even, okay, that's not good either. Being just totally into each other is, in a certain sense, still kind of selfish. So he says there have to be three persons. Because when there's three, now there's like a community. It's like some attention here, some attention here. We all love each other equally. And that actually is a very good image of the Holy Trinity. Okay? That God, because God is love, and therefore God is necessarily relationships. He has to have somebody to love and have these relationships of love with. And why is this important to you and me? Well, aside from the fact that he's God and we're not, and he made the universe and all that stuff, so it would be kind of cool to be on the good side of the guy who did it all. Here's the thing. When he made us, do you remember the words of Genesis? He made Adam and Eve, and he made them in his image and likeness. Good answer. I knew it was out there. He made us in his image and likeness. And that means a few different things. It means he gave us an intellect and a will, but it means he made us for relationships of love. And part of the fact that he made us in the image and likeness, like Adam alone was not totally, he was not totally in the image and likeness of God, and neither was Eve alone totally in the image and likeness of God. And even the two of them as a couple wasn't totally the image and likeness of God, because God is a Trinity. But when they had a family, they represented all of the Trinity. So the human family is made in the image and likeness of God. And that means that, well, two things. If you want to have a great family and a great family life, we have to stick God in the middle of it, because we're made in his image and likeness. We are supposed to be like a little image of God. We're actually also an image of the church. So, for example, I'm not going to ask anyone to raise your hands, okay? But if I see your feet start shuffling around, I'll know the answer is no. How many of us, every day, even if it's just for a couple minutes, pray together as a family? Mom, dad, and kids. A couple of you do now because we've talked, okay? Okay, I'm starting to see heads go down. Okay. If the family is made in the image and likeness of God, if you want to have an awesome family life, we need to pray together every single day. It doesn't have to be a ton, but God has to be in the center. The other side is also true, though. If we want to love God, one of the best ways that you can learn how to love is in a family. That's the reason God stuck us in families. Because when you're in a family, it's not all about you. You know, especially if there's multiple kids, all of a sudden, you have to learn how to share. Mom and dad work and kill themselves for you. The kids need to learn how to obey. There's all these different relationships of love that take place in a family. And God made us that way so he would train us and teach us how to love. And God himself is like the fullness of all of those different kinds of love. Every single kind of authentic human love that there is, friendship, romance, love of children for parents, parents for children, all of these different things, they're just dim reflections of part of God's love. He's the whole package. So, at the risk of sounding like a hippie, today the Feast of the Blessed Trinity is the Feast of Love. All right? So, we're going to invite all of you to try to put this into practice. How can we love one another and how can we love God? Well, my homework for you, you're not getting out of here without homework. My homework is this. Before lunch, everybody here as a family needs to pray at least 3 Hail Marys together, okay? Stop somewhere like right before lunch and pray 3 Hail Marys together. And let's start forming that habit. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.